Morning, church. I hope you're all well. I'm very excited and a bit emotional this morning. Before my sermon, I always say that I hope I never stopped getting nervous before a sermon, because then I get a bit too cocky and a bit too full of myself. So I brought the whole library of books here, so hope you guys are okay. I just felt, and I said to the media team not to put even the name or the title of the sermon up before. I just give you a bit of background. Just felt now in the worship as well. First of all, thank you so much for the Stellenbosch team. You guys blessed us. It's, wow, thank you. I just felt that this sermon, it might be the most important sermon that I'm ever going to preach, and I just want to emphasize, to make that known to you, that this is quite important. This is not jokes. But I'm very excited to share it with you guys. So hope you guys are well excited as well and eager to hear what I'm going to preach. The last time I preached in the morning, it was about the fear of God, I think. And straight after that, God gave me this title. Just those two words. It's two difficult words in the title. Very difficult. Probably the most difficult thing that you'll ever have as a Christian in your life. If you could put the title up there for us, please. Something not talk about a lot, not something your flesh loves a lot, I can tell you that, something that you might even take offense of, something that you might even leave your faith about, because after money, and not after, first thing, the biggest thing, you'll ever have in this life, enemy number one will be yourself. And I've put self in capital letters so you know where the problem lies. Enemy number one is not the devil. We all think it's the devil. Enemy number one is you looking in the mirror. And if you can realize that, you can realize where sin starts. It's in the desires of our own hearts. And I'm preaching to myself, listen, I'm not an angel. I'm not a saint. I'm just like you sitting there. And it's a big responsibility to stand here, but it's a big privilege to be standing here. If God ever put it on your heart to come preach, pray about it, but know that it's not easy. You first have to empty yourself, empty the vessel of anything that might be of yourself, and then ask God to fill it. But just the experience of preaching, of how God works through you, how you are a tool for Him. To bring the word physically means to bring God's word for you. It's a huge responsibility, and not to take something easy off. I'm going to start off with scripture in Matthew 16:24. If you got your Bible, it it's up there as well. The first thing of becoming a Christian is, like I said, to deny yourself. To die to the self. To die to your desires. And Matthew 16 says it quite clearly. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must. That's a strong word. God doesn't say, if you think about it, maybe that's a good idea. He said, you must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? In the spiritual realm, there's nothing more important after God, your soul. That's why there's two kingdoms fighting daily, every minute, for your soul and my soul. If you lose that, you lost the most important thing there is in the spiritual realm. You know that enemy number one has caused more wars, divorces, drug abuse, persecution, pain, and death than anything else in this world? It starts with our own desires. Remember the story about King David, where Prophet Nathan came to him and said to him, he told him the story about this lamb that was like a pet to this family. They only had this one and they loved this pet. And then someone took it and slaughtered it. And King David was so angry. He said, this guy need to pay. He need to pay fourfold and he need to die. And then Prophet Nathan said, it's you. I think when that hit him, he understood he did wrong. Now, enemy number one is selfish. It's all about me. It's all about I, myself, and me, and what I can get out of it. We need to get rid of the self. And it's not easy. Let me tell you that. That's the most difficult thing that you'll ever have. Test yourself just for a quick thing. 10 minutes. Just say 10 minutes of your day. Say how many times you think about yourself. How many times you think about your own desires. How many times, if you speak, the word I and me and myself comes up. Test yourself. I've tested myself, and it scared me. Ourselves is so alive that we need to die daily. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily and die. That's so difficult because everything inside your natural instinct being, flesh, wants to have it. It wants it first. There was the story about the two brothers standing at the kitchen where mom was baking pancakes. And mom was going on with the pancakes and the one brother was fighting, I want the first pancake. And the other one said, I want the first pancake. And then mom said, well, this is a good chance for them to teach them. And she said, you know, Jesus would have let the other brother have the first pancake. And then the one brother looked at his other brother and he said, well, you can be Jesus then. And that's how we are. We'll rather have our own desires met than be Jesus. And it's true. That's very true. It's scary true. Test yourself. You'll get a fright. If you don't have any pride or ego inside of you, well, I want to meet you. Because the middle letter of pride is I. The middle letter of sin is I. We are self-important, self-indulgent, self-willed, self-fulfilled, self-sufficient. The letters joy stands for Jesus first, others second, and you third. Not the other way around, where you say you first, others, and then Jesus last. It's not like that. And joy you'll receive when you put it in the right order. Believe me, it goes against what your mind and your flesh would tell you. It said, now sort yourself out first, and then you'll get to others and to Jesus and all that. Now, I'm saying always to people, charity starts at home. Yes, it does. But only if it's the will of God and what Jesus wants, and then you can give out from the place where Jesus poured in. But you will receive that joy. It's the upside down kingdom. It doesn't make sense to your flesh to put Jesus first, then others, then you. It just doesn't make sense. But you'll receive that true joy, the joy of the Lord, if you do it in the right way. If you ask any pastor that been to marriage councils, 99% of all the problems of marriages is selfishness. The one wants that, the one wants that, and no one put the other one first. I bet you now, if there's any fight in your marriage, ask yourself, why is this fight? Selfish. I want my need first before hers, or other way around. It's selfishness. When I studied this subject about denying yourself and selfishness, it scared me because I was so full of myself, and I'm still is, and we all are, but I didn't realize how important this subject is to get rid of. It is so important. It's the first thing that you need to tackle daily. Daily, deny yourself. Die to yourself. It's not about you. This world doesn't turn around you. It turns around God. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He was the perfect example. If you look at any newborn kid or toddler, he's not born with patience. He's not born with humility. He wants everything for himself. He is selfish. You can look at any toddler and ask him to share his first toy. It's no chance. It's no chance. So are we as young Christians in the spiritual realm. We need to die to ourselves. We need to teach ourselves. It's something you get to teach every day, to die to yourself, to give the other one the first. James 1, verse 14 and 15 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. We all know sins lead to death. Sin lead to death. We know that. But there's something in front of sin. Something that leads you to sin, your own desires. That's why I say enemy number one is yourself, your desires. That's the first thing. It's the root of all sin. You can check yourself. Any sin that you ever committed comes from that place, your own desires. Before I'm going to go into what it means to deny yourself, I'm going to first go through what it's not. So we're clear on that. Denying yourself things in life, that's not it. God came to give you life and life in abundance. So it's not denying yourself. It's not like, oh, I can't have that. I can't have that. No, it's not that. God wants to give you the whole world. But first, empty yourself. We always say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me, Holy Spirit. How can he if you're full of yourself? We need to get rid of ourselves. Denying yourself is not deny of pleasures in God. That's also not it. And that saying that says, oh, it's just my cross, I have to carry it. No, it's not that. God came for healing. You don't have to have that suffering physical illness. It's not that. It's not that. God came to heal and give life in abundance. Denying yourself doesn't mean you got to stay in a bad relationship or in a bad job. It's not that either. So please don't hear what I'm not saying. Richard said always that. Denying yourself, the focus has got to be on the self, not yourself. That's why I've highlighted the title. Now let's go to what it is, denying yourself. The whole Bible is full of it. You can read almost the whole New Testament is full of denying yourself. But here's a couple of examples to admit first that you were wrong. How difficult is that? You need to be humble and say, oops, sorry, I take responsibility. It was me. Sorry. That is denying yourself. Your flesh don't want to do that. Have you ever seen a toddler putting his hand up? Oh, that was me. Mom, that's me. Sorry. No. We need to taught ourselves. Anybody with kids would know that. To forgive is denying yourself. Forgiveness is denying yourself. It's so difficult to forgive someone that did harm to you. A while ago, we stayed in town still, and we always went up to the Lacotte farm and take a walk there. It was before the farm was renovated, and we came back with the bicycles and forgot to close the garage. I didn't know it at that time, of course, and the next morning our domestic lady early in the morning came in and she said, your garage is standing open. I said, oh, man. And lo and behold, Tian's bike was gone. I just knew I had to go up to the farm. Just had a feeling I have to go up to the farm. There was always two security guards walking up and down, and their job was to look out for thieves on the farm. And I go up there with my bucky. Venora drove in the opposite direction, looking to see if we can see Tian's bicycle. It's white. It's easy to see. Drove around the empty farm and was about to go out. And then I think the Holy Spirit just told me, reverse, go into this little house or room, and it was all verfallen and it was broken down and didn't look like there was anybody in there. And as I opened the door, the two security guards was lying down there sleeping because it was still early, and Tian's bike was standing between them. And the amount of anger and emotions that came out to me was like you want to kill them right there and then. And I pick up Tian's bike, put it outside the room, and I closed the door. And before I closed the door, I said, and the guy started to wake up. And I said to him, just stay inside. I'm calling the police. And I think I was like, I felt like I was 8 foot and this strong. Because they were two and I was one. And I hold that door and I said, I challenge you, come in and try to open this door. And they didn't. They saw I meant business. And luckily the police came quick. The one escaped through the roof. The other one, police took in. So the guy that they took in, or the guy that ran away and got away, about a week later, we came back from town walking up Lacotte Street, and it was dark. It was about just starting to get dark, so you can see a little bit of figures, but you can't really see out. And on my way up to the house, I saw the same guy that got away coming down, and me, my family, and Venora's sister was walking up, and I told Venora, here comes the guy. Here comes our thief. It's dark. There's no one in the streets. I can show him a bit of my anger. I can maybe tell him a bit of Jesus as well, with this one and this one, with the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Maybe let him repent a bit. I had to deny myself. I had to deny my emotions. I had to forgive him. Lucky I already forgave him, but that was the test that I had to really go through and say, will he sort him out now? Will he revenge? Revenge is not denying yourself. Let God do the fighting. He will justify you. I walk up to the guy. I think he got such a fright. He was just standing with his mouth open. And first thing I said to him, don't worry, I forgave you. And I gave him a hug. And I turned around and I walked back up home. The family left me there because they knew they didn't want to see this. And then when I came up, the family was shocked as well. But I think he was more shocked because he was standing there right at that spot, still with his mouth open, and he couldn't get a word out. And that's what God means in the Bible of letting your enemy blush. If I fight fire with fire, will that be glorifying God? Will God get any glory on? No. I will just make it bigger. I will just make it bigger. That is denying yourself. Now, listen, I'm not a saint. That's the one time I got it right. Other times, maybe in Rappi, I didn't get it right. And people had to be collected with an ambulance, but we're not going to talk about it today. Let's talk about the times I got it right. But, yeah, just to come back to examples of denying yourself is sacrifice my time, energy, and money. If your wallet is close to your heart and God says, take it out, put some money in that guy's account without saying it was you, that is denying yourself. It's not about you. They don't need to know where it comes from as long as they know it's from God. That's it. Love your haters. How difficult is that? If you can love a guy that hates you, you will think like, okay, either this guy doesn't have emotions or I'm not getting anything out of him, because that's what the devil wants. There was this, can I tell a blonde joke? It's not on my opinion, it's just a joke, okay? I love blondes, but I love my wife more. So let me just come back. I'm getting in trouble now. Let me just tell the joke. It's not my opinion, okay? There was this comedian. He was a ventriloquist, right? That's a big word for me, so be with me. English is not my first language. And he was telling this blonde joke, and a blonde in the crowd got offended, and she stood up and said, I don't like that. I'm getting offended. Please do undo that. And the comedian said, sorry. I won't do that again. And she said, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that little guy. Now, that's exactly what we do. Our haters comes to us like that little puppet in the comedians. And the devil's just pulling their strings and their emotions. And they're just flaring it out onto you. Are you going to talk to the little guy or are you going to talk to the bigger guy? Because in the spiritual realm, everything comes from the spirit. If your haters hate you and scream at you, look behind it. Look at the way the root was from that hate. We should talk straight and say, they will get behind me. That's what Jesus did. He saw with Peter. It's not Peter. Peter's just getting pulled by emotions. Another example for denying yourself is to obey God immediately. When God tells you, I want you to have a fourth baby, and you not want a fourth baby. Sorry, I'm using that example, but that's what happened with me. I was like, surely that was the devil speaking to me there. I didn't tell anybody about that until lockdown. And then God reminded about that. I said, okay, I need to talk about my wife about this. I didn't obey him immediately, but God knew that. And James was born at the perfect time. But I had to deny myself. I had to say, God, I just can't see a fourth child, but if it's your will, may your will be done. And I had to be obedient. And sometimes at night, when my wife gets up for the seventh time, I'm sure she loves me a lot, but we need to deny ourselves. We don't see the bigger picture, that's why. There's a bigger picture. One day we'll understand, God, that's why. Now, I wouldn't change James for anything. I love him so much. And he brings so much joy in our family. I can just see God through him every day. But sometimes you think he's possessed. Thank you, Benora. Another examples of denying yourself is to praise God before the breakthrough. Before the breakthrough, praise God. How difficult is that? You can't see the breakthrough, but you're praising God. God just put that on my heart recently. I shared it at the other evening service. We were on our way to a holiday in Kalahari. That's quite some distance from here. And our car was not in a driving state. And we had it at every mechanic, every auto electrician that you can think of, and they couldn't fix this electrical problem. And I was getting frustrated, I was getting stressed, I was anxiety was all over me. And then eventually the breakthrough came, and I couldn't stop praising God. It was this thing that was getting closer and closer. It was a week before we went on holiday. And I didn't want to tell my family, sorry guys, it's not going to happen. The kids was already talking about it, packing their stuff, and I was so happy. And God just laid something in my heart. What I really wanted was you to praise me beforehand, before the breakthrough, before the car was fixed. I wanted you to praise then. It's difficult. It means denying yourself. It means trusting God before you can see the car fixed. If you can see in your spiritual eye that your car is already fixed, God's like, oh well, you passed the test. Here's your car. It's fixed. Putting others' interest first. That's in Philippians 2 verse 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Can't be more clear than that. I bet your flesh don't like that verse. Just like the little boy waiting for his pancake. It's not easy. Count the cost. Count the cost. John 16:33, if you got that up as well for us. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome this world. It's not going to be easy. It means daily to die to yourself. It means daily to look in the mirror and say, God, what do you want me to do today? I've got a program of all these things that need to happen today. I never gave God a chance to tell him what I need to do. Need to empty ourselves first before we can get filled by the Holy Spirit. There's a little picture as well of dying to self. You can put that up as well. You see the eye represents a cross. means that the cross back in a Roman day meant a gruesome thing, not a nice thing. Now the cross represents Jesus and that he saved us. But back then when Jesus said those words, it meant not a nice thing. Dying to yourself means death. I'm actually preaching death this morning, and it was difficult to be obedient to God, to say, oh God, I'll preach death, but means death to self. It's a good death. Because either you're going to say yes to a life full of all your desires, maybe you'll get 80, 90, 100 years of full of your desires, and then spend eternity without God. If someone asks you that now, if the devil gives you that option now, you can put that picture up of Jesus as well. Which one would you choose? Which one would you choose? Remember, the one on the right is only for 80, 90, 100 years if you're lucky. The one on the left is forever. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. But we think we live here forever. And we think this life is all about me and my desires as long as I can meet it. It's enemy number one. It's Stefan. I need to die before Jesus can start to live. There's maybe people finding themselves in a dark place now. I'm going to tell you, maybe you are planted. Maybe you are a seed that are planted. And a tree grows in two directions. It always has to grow in two directions. We forgot about the root because you can't see it. But before a seed can grow, any seed can talk to any farmer, it needs to die. When it dies, then Jesus can start growing and he can bear fruit. It's not called Stephen's fruit, it's called the Holy Spirit's fruits. I can't bear my fruits, they will all taste yucky and plastic. But when it's Jesus, Holy Spirit's fruits, then you have true joy. There's that story as well about kicking a dead dog. If you say yourself is dead and someone kicks you and you react like, wah, you bite back, that dog ain't dead. Sure ain't dead. Someone triggers your emotions and you fire back, yourself ain't dead. That's difficult. It's difficult to stand in front of someone screaming at you, I scull you ate, and you just got to be emotionless and just say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. But I guess what? That person won't. One thing that would be your reaction if you do that. There's a preacher, pastor, Zach Poonen. I don't know if you know him. He's quite famous. He had this to say. He said, I don't believe 99.9% of Christians have understood what worship is. I myself did not know. I thought it was singing songs on Sunday morning. I thought that as well. I discovered it was not. I discovered that worship, true worship, was giving to God in secret without anybody knowing that it was costly. True worship is giving up, sacrificing, denying myself. When you are tempted strongly to watch pornography, porn, and you deny yourself, that's worship. If you love that person that hates you, that is worship. Then God knows that you fear him. If you fear God in a good, holy way, you would deny yourself. Because God is the center of your universe. He is your first love. So if we die, we don't have to be scared because we're going to our first love. Why are we scared when we die? We're going to a place, no fear, no sin, no persecution, no crying. We're going to be with our first love. There's no need to be scared. God is there. Of course, we're going to miss our family. But they're coming. if you lost someone to death, he's in a better place if he knew God, if he denied himself, if he fears God. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you fear God? Do you deny yourself? It's so difficult. We need to do it daily. Daily. And as soon as you find yourself in a selfish way, acting in a selfish way, you need to stop, forgive, ask for forgiveness, and do the opposite what your flesh wants to do. Do the opposite what your flesh wants to do. If you get to a crossroad and you don't know which one to pick, do the one that your flesh don't want to do. Because I bet you it's going to be the selfish one. If you do the one that God wants you to do, that's going to be that soft voice. The soft voice. God is a gentleman. I've got some books here that I recently went up to my uncle's funeral, and my mom had this whole library of books that she collected through her life. She was a teacher her whole life. And she said, you know what? And I was I don't want your books, Mom. She said, I remember this preacher preaching once that said, we're going to be responsible for our books sitting in our own homes catching dust. Because there's people that needs to read that books. And you finish reading with that book. Why is it standing there collecting dust? And she said, take whatever you want. Go read it. And I picked a couple. This all Afrikaans. We come from Afrikaans family, but I'm going to translate it. Forgiveness and kies. Forgiveness is a kies. Forgiveness is a choice. It is a choice. You can choose. Nederigheid, die volheid van die Christelike lewe. Humility, the fullness of a Christian's life. Wapens vir die geestelike stryd. Weapons for the spiritual, what's a stryd, battle, things. Dink geestelik, dit sal jou lewe verander. Think spiritual, it will change your life. If you stop talking to that little puppet in the comedian's hands and see what is behind that puppet, then you think spiritual. And the big one from Dr. James Dobson, I'm reading this one at the moment, and this is rocking my boat. Emotions. Can we trust him? No, you can't. That's what the book is saying. That's what Dr. James Dobson is saying. And I thought, well, God gave us emotions. Yes, he did, and emotions is good. But you can't trust him. You can't let them lead you. Lead your decisions. Emotions, there's so many people that they just drama, 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 drama. They enlarge the drama in their life and not enlarging God. Emotions can, it can put you on a roller coaster. I know a couple of people that, it's just drama daily. Everything is a big thing. And that, I can't be close to people like that. It just drains me. Really, it drains me. But that's how they live. Everything is a big matter. Everything. And that's just emotions getting, they're just playing you like a puppet. Everything. That dog ain't dead. For sure, it ain't dead. Forgiveness is a choice. Last subject I'm going to talk about is forgiveness. Because that's probably the biggest one that God's putting on my heart at the moment. You see, a week ago, exactly this time, my home was broken in again. And we caught the culprit, but now I need to forgive him. It's difficult, because I know him. I know him very well. I can either have revenge, I can either have hatred towards him, or I can love him and forgive him. And give him over to God. Because he's also just a puppet getting played. So hating him back will just put more petrol in the fire. I need to put out that fire of living water with love. Because perfect love casts away all fear. And I bid you as well, it cast away all hatred as well. There's a bishop in the 80s that wrote this after his son died. And his son suffered a very, very bad death where his murderers really did a bad thing to him. And this bishop couldn't even be at his son's funeral. But he wrote this prayer of forgiveness. And I'm going to read it to you. This was read out to at his son's funeral. And it came from the dad. And it says, "Oh God, my son's blood has multiplied the fruit of the Spirit in the soil of our souls. So when this murderers stand before you on a day of judgment, remember the fruit of the Spirit by which they have enriched our lives and forgive." When you get to that place where this bishop was, you have joy. You have inner peace. You have contentment, because it means that dog is dead and they can kick whatever they want and they can take your son's life, but God is still in control and he's still good. And you're not seeing the bigger picture, but you believe there's a motive to everything. Nothing happens without God knowing about it. I want to close off with a prayer. Sermon rocked your boat. I hope it shook your boat a bit. I hope it meant something to you. I hope that anybody listening to this recording, God will speak to them. Let me tell you, every time you preach about a subject, God tests you. And he tests me this week. Am I going to forgive? Am I going to deny myself of revenge and hatred? Let's close our eyes. You can pray this after me if you like. Dear God, I know that releasing forgiveness is important for my well-being. Still, I pray that you would help me see that forgiveness for the sake of those I am forgiving is also important. I ask that you equip me to forgive others like Jesus does, so we both may be healed and raised in your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.